Last Sunday morning, we started a study about Jesus being the light of the world. And we started with the Gospel of John in chapter 8 and verse 12, where it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And Jesus also said in John 9 and verse 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So Jesus is the light of the world, and last week we were looking at the one application or aspect of Jesus being the light of the world, in that he is the light that came unto his own. He is the creator and owner of us all, and we have to recognize him as such, and we have to receive him and believe in that authority that he has as our maker and owner, and as such, we have to come to repentance. Well, this morning we want to build on that and look at another aspect of Jesus being the light of the world. And that is how we're to be called out of darkness into his light. How we can be transformed from being in darkness to light, which is a process that must take place if we are going to walk in the light and follow the light of the world. In John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, we learn here that men love darkness in verses 19 and 20, and this is just a sad statement of fact, much like what we saw in chapter 1 that we were looking at last week, when it said that Jesus came into his own, but his own received him not. When he came into this world, he made this world, he came to those that he made and that belonged to him, but then largely this world rejects him. Well, here he's now going into some more of the reasons why that is the case. But John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, he says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Well, there we see Jesus is the light of the world, and his teachings his word provides that light that will expose our deeds and what we're doing. It's going to show our deeds to be what they are. And as far as those that are in the world are concerned, what are they doing? What's this world doing? Well, John 5:19 says that the whole world lieth in wickedness. Well, the deeds of this world are evil. We all walked in evil at one time. But for us to go from into Christ's light, well, we have to have our deeds exposed by his light, but then we have to make a decision about whether we love the darkness or whether we love the light. Because when his light shines on our deeds, they're going to be reproved when they're not right. His light, God's word, is going to show us that if we're not doing something that's pleasing to God, that it's wrong. Now, how does the world respond to that light? When that light shines on their deeds in the world, when they're told that what they're doing isn't good or right, then how do they respond to that? Well, they hate that light. They love darkness. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They want to continue in those evil deeds. So do they want to acknowledge the one that made them, that they belong to, that they should live for him and do what he tells them that they should do? Or do they want to do what they want to do anyway? Well, that's the world. They want to walk in their darkness. And so they're going to respond very negatively against that light when it shines. And so that's sad to see, but that's a fact of what light does. It's going to reveal the deeds, whether they're right or wrong. So we have to make that decision about whether we're going to be like the world and love darkness, or whether we're going to love the Lord, whether we're going to turn to him to make sure that our deeds are right in his sight. In the book of Job, chapter 24, if we can turn there to Job chapter 24, verse 13, speaking of the wicked, he says, "They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof." So that is a statement about the world in Job's time. Is it any different than what we just read there in John 3? Not at all. But he says, those that are wicked, they're going to rebel against the light. They don't know the ways of light. They will not abide in the paths of light. So they're going to rebel against it. They're going to turn against it. They will not walk in those ways. That's the way. Those are the ways of the world and the wickedness of it. In Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, and this is something we certainly can very clearly see in our own time, unfortunately, but how many people not only will not know the ways of light, but they'll reverse it. They'll call what is dark light, and what is light darkness. And this is what the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, that was even taking place among his own people, Israel. He says, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight." And some more about that, what we just read in verse 21, we want to go into that in some more detail in a few minutes. When he says, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Well, to call what is light dark and what is dark light, does that not take some pride there for someone to be wise and prudent in their own sight, for man to take upon himself to make the judgment about what's right and wrong, and to condemn what is right and call it darkness, and then to embrace darkness and call it light? Is that not what we see in our world today? In fact, who's most despised in the world today? The worst thing you can do, according to the world, is to actually call something that is evil, evil. They have called what is light darkness. They have called what is darkness light. And so all kinds of deeds that are exposed as being of darkness in God's word, what he calls sin, wickedness, evil. Those things that men do, and now, of course, in our modern times, they're going to be very bold and even plainly state to be proud of those kinds of deeds. If we speak out against them, then we're the ones called evil. So this is happening today, but it doesn't make it right. And God pronounces woe upon those who do that. So he's going to judge this world for its wickedness. But we can see the characteristics of the world in loving darkness, hating the light, rebelling against the light, and even calling the light darkness, and that which is dark, light. Back in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if we can turn over there for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's read verses 3 and 4. He says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So this light of the gospel of Christ, it is hid to those who are lost. I mean, do they see the light? Do they recognize it and understand it? Well, they hate it. They rebel against it. They call it darkness. But that is hidden from them, this light. It's because they desire that to be so. In verse 4, they're blinded. Their minds are blinded. And if they weren't, then the alternative, if we're not blinded, is that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ would shine to them, to us. So that tells us that there's going to have to be a change that has to take place within us, so that we can no longer be blind, but instead that we can have that light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine unto us and it not be hid from us anymore. So what needs to happen so that that light is not hidden from us, so that we can have that light to shine unto us? Well, for that to happen, so that we can be saved, we have to turn. And there has to be a change in us from a love of darkness to a love for what is light, and to to receive that, not to rebel against it. In Acts chapter 26, we can see these words that the Lord spoke unto the Apostle Paul when he was converted, and what purpose that he had for Paul in his ministry and service as an apostle of Christ. These are Christ's words to Paul when he appeared to him on that road to Damascus and said he was going to send him to the Gentiles. Verse 18, he says, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." So what is God's desire for the whole world? Well, not for it to lie in wickedness. I mean, it is because men love darkness, but does God desire that men would turn away from that love of darkness, that they would turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto the power of God, so they could receive the forgiveness of sins and that eternal inheritance that he has reserved for those who have faith in him? That is God's desire for every man. He will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. And 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 tells us that he would have all men to come to repentance. So that's God's ultimate desire. But now, is he going to force men to love the light? No, their minds are going to be blinded if they love that darkness. But he has provided that glorious light of the gospel of Christ through his Son, the light of the world, to open the eyes of those who are blind and to turn them from darkness to light. But that turning needs to take place. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he is speaking about the same process here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Is there any one of us that at one time was not in darkness? We all were. So for us to be in Christ, we have to make that transformation. He's called us out of that darkness that we were once in into his marvelous light. Well, we had to do something in order for us to be able to answer that call so that we would no longer be blinded, but instead that we would have the light of the gospel of Christ, that glorious light, shine to us. We've been called out of that darkness into his marvelous light. What does the word church mean? The word ecclesia, the called out ones. That's who we are. That's what the word church means. And what are we called out of? This world in its darkness into God's marvelous light. So that is the great blessing that we have from the Lord, that we have that opportunity and have had that, been given that calling, and we have that opportunity to make that transformation from darkness to light. But we do have to make a decision in our minds that will enable us to be able to answer that call and no longer be blinded and be in that darkness. Well, Paul was fulfilling that plan the Lord had for him that was expressed there in chapter 26 and verse 18. Of course, Acts 26 is not... That's where Paul was one of those occasions, like he did in chapter 22, where he was recounting what happened to him. The events actually occurred in Acts 9 when the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus. So Acts 17 as well after that. But we saw that account in Acts 26 verse 18 where the Lord said he was sending him to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from that power of Satan to God and from that darkness to light. Well, he was in Athens in Greece in Acts chapter 17 on Mars Hill. He beheld the city wholly given to idolatry from that vantage point. It says in verse 16 that his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. It was fully given to the worship of idols. That stirred Paul's spirit within him. And then when he went to Mars Hill in verse 22, he stood in the midst of Mars Hill and he said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." So they were wholly given to idolatry. They had these idols, all these different ones by name, and here they had an altar. They didn't want to. They didn't.